Let us bow in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Is the Lord in our midst or not? That question, which I have chosen as a sermon title this morning, you no doubt recognize as Jason read from the Old Testament lesson from the book of Exodus. It comes at the conclusion of the story about the Israelites who, having made their exodus from bondage in Egypt, are now wandering in the wilderness. They are thirsty, and there seems to be no water supply. And in typical fashion, they complain to Moses. It was your idea to leave Egypt, and now look what has befallen us. Perhaps Moses is not overstating it one bit when he murmurs to God, "They are almost ready to stone me." The question these people direct to Moses seems to almost leap off the page as we read it. Is the Lord among us or not? The question seems to contain the twin emotions of both doubt but hope. Doubting God's presence and yet holding out some hope that God will in some way reveal himself. As I was reading over this passage several times in the last couple of weeks, I couldn't help but reflect that the question is asked in many different ways and in many different forms throughout Scripture. And I would dare say in our own experience as well. And always there is underneath that question those twin emotions of doubt but hope. Is God still with us where we presently are? Is God to be found in this present experience that I'm going through, the experience in its pain, confusion, which seems to speak more about the absence of God than the presence of God? This presence experiencing causing me to doubt God's presence and yet wanting to hold out some hope for God to be present. Is the Lord in our midst or not? It was raised as a question by that patriarch of the Israelites, Jacob, many years earlier. Remember the story of Jacob who had stolen his twin brother Esau's birthright through an act of trickery and deception? And then Esau pledged to get even through revenge, maybe even to kill Jacob. And so Jacob flees from his home and he starts heading off to the home of his uncle, hoping to hide out there for a while and be saved. Jacob now is in the wilderness, that beautiful scene in the wilderness, feeling that he had left everything of worth and value behind, back there at what he used to be able to call home. He's left behind family and friends and perhaps even God. And in complete despair, he lays down to try to get some sleep. And we have that beautiful story of Jacob dreaming that a ladder is lowered from heaven. And angels start descending it, bringing to Jacob messages of God's continuing presence. And when Jacob woke up, when Jacob came to his senses, he named the place Bethel. That is, the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Jacob, having also been caught with those twin emotions of doubting God's presence and yet hoping that in the same way that presence would be revealed to him. And we can take the question back even much further to Adam and Eve. Remember, after they fell from grace through disobedience, God sent them forth out of the Garden of Eden into what we could describe as a wilderness. And there they would raise the question of God's continual presence, doubting and yet hoping in that place known as East of Eden. You lovers of great American novels are well aware that John Steinbeck used that title, East of Eden, as a descriptive image for his book that also raised the question of experiencing God in the wilderness of life's pain and suffering, experiencing those twin emotions, doubt and yet hope. For Jacob, there was the ladder and angels. For Adam and Eve, there was that cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. And here in our story from Exodus for the wandering Israelites, there is no oasis in the wilderness. You know, this morning I want to propose a theory, and maybe some of you will want to explore it with me further sometime. My theory is simply this, that the problem for most of us, in fact, the promise for most of humanity, is not where can God be found, but rather the fear that the God we once knew so well and experienced so personally has been left behind someplace. In a place and in a time that really seemed to be home for us. But now we seem to wander through a kind of wilderness marked by loneliness, pain, suffering. I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, that I lifted up that image of wilderness and how important it is in Scripture, and that's the image that is here as well this morning. In that wilderness, wondering, is God among us or not? Let me share with you three stories of people who have asked that question in various forms due to the particular situations that they were going through. I spoke not long ago with a minister who had found it necessary a couple of years ago to resign from his position as a pastor of a congregation due to the fact of him being guilty of some discretions of a serious sort. This man, 2 years later, still feels devastated. His family feels devastated. His friends, including many members of that congregation, feel devastated. This man is experiencing being in a wilderness, scared and lonely, far from the security of which he had once been able to call home. Oh God, where are you? The cry goes up in the doubt that maybe God has now been left behind. And yet the cry goes up with the hope that God is still present for him. A second situation. a family back in Merrick, a family that I was very close to while I served in that church, is now facing the ill health of a member of that family. And they're raising the question, why is it happening? The ill party is still relatively young, but the doctor has told the family that it's terminal. And the mother tells me with tears in her eyes that over and over again during the day or night, she questions where God is in all of this. She remembers the good days when God's presence was so real to her. There in the comfort and security of her family and in the situation where everything seemed to function so smoothly. And now she feels alone. She feels deserted, suffering alone in the wilderness. Is God in our midst or not? Third situation. Peter, a student that I knew when he was at CW Post, a very bright but a very troubled college student who periodically would stop by and talk with me when I was serving on that campus as chaplain. Peter came from a God-fearing family, a product of Sunday schools and church youth groups, been very active and a devoted participant in all of the church's functions. His pastor had even talked to him one time about considering entering the Christian ministry. But Peter then had his intellectual doubts of all that he had been taught back in his former church. He would tell me that he had been away from all that for quite some time now, had to get away from all of it because it seemed so suffocating for him. That was his term, suffocating. He had questioned all that he had once believed in a very trusting, childlike fashion. And his questioning had been like a wilderness experience for him in which God seemed to be a thing of the past. And yet then, and I'm assuming still now, the questioning and the doubting continues. And maybe once in a while he would want to admit that in his questioning he still entertains that element of hope. Hope in a God that is still to be experienced, even in the midst of our doubts. You see, for me, there's a common thread that runs through these stories, even as it does run through those three Old Testament stories that I asked you to reflect on with me. In the wilderness of our lives, is there an oasis with life-giving water so that we might experience again the God who had been so real? When we now turn from the Exodus story and the wilderness experience and the people crying out because of their lack of water, we come to another water story. We turn to the story of the woman of Samaria and her encounter with Jesus, told here in the fourth chapter of John. We deal once again with the question and concern as to whether God is limited to a particular place and time. A particular place and time in the past, which once had a great deal of meaning, but now seems to be left behind. In her conversation with Jesus, the woman of Samaria informs him as a Jew that maybe he's not aware of Samaritan practices, that Samaritans worshipped on this mountain near the town of Sychar. This mountain, which was the location of Jacob's well, once a very well-treasured landmark for Israelites, but now no longer lying within their territory, but rather now being in the territory of the Samaritans. The Israelites focusing their place of worship now, not there, but in the city of Jerusalem. That was just one thing that separated this woman of Samaria from this man from Judea. The more significant thing was that simply by being a Samaritan, she was separated from Jesus, a Jew. The Jews and the Samaritans were enemies of each other. They did not speak to each other. Samaritans were Jews who had intermarried with the former occupants of that land, and so the Jews looked at them as interfaith people, as deserters to the true Jewish nationality and religion. Those Samaritans were, in a sense, in a no man's land, accepted by neither Jew nor by the natives of that land. For them, the question would be, is God in our midst or not? And the beauty of the story is, however, that for both Jesus and for the woman, they came to be able to share the water. Both could drink from the same source. But furthermore, the well became a symbol for a much more significant well from which both could drink, bringing to them not just temporal refreshment, but everlasting life. For that woman, with her questioning, expressing both doubt and yet hope, new life was given as she acknowledged the very presence of the Lord God incarnate in her midst. Well, a few minutes ago, I laid out for you my theory that for most of us, maybe for most of humanity, the problem isn't where God can be found, but the fear that the God we once seemed to know so well and experience so personally has been left behind in a place and in a time that was home for us, but now we've moved beyond that point in our pilgrimage through the wilderness marked by loneliness and suffering causes us to doubt and yet at the same time hold out hope. For many people, just like the three that I introduced you with, their wilderness experience, then the greatest message that needs to be heard, the greatest message that needs to be proclaimed is, God is here. Every Sunday morning, before the lay reader and I enter into the sanctuary to lead you in the service of worship, I offer a prayer in which I ask that in one way or another, God's presence will be made known. Maybe through the music that is sung. Maybe sometimes in the sermon. Maybe sometimes just in the fellowship that you have with one another. You see, I'm well aware that each person in this sanctuary comes to this place with different experiences, different needs, different concerns, some of which manifested themselves even in the prior week. I'm well aware that some may very well be experiencing wilderness, may well be asking, maybe not verbally, but is God present for me today or not? And thus my prayer is that in some way, somehow, God is to be experienced even within this hour of being together, sitting in that pew, gathering with us for fellowship afterwards. Adam and Eve, having sinned, now being placed outside the Garden of Eden, still the realization, God is with us. Jacob, the outcast from his family, fleeing for his life, at Bethel realizing God is still with us. Those wandering Israelites, thirsty, not only for water, no doubt, but thirsty also for all that had been left behind, needing to realize that even out there, God is with us. A Samaritan woman, separated from the stranger she meets at the well, separated by her nationality and her lifestyles and her customs. She had five husbands. Well, five and one that wasn't her husband. Yeah. Disgraced, wondering whether God is in her midst and coming to realize that God is there. The mother questioning, and rightly so, why her son, still just a boy, is struck with a disease which is terminal. The college student, with all his intellectual doubts and disbeliefs, still needing to realize God is with us. Now, what about you? What about me? Certainly we too experience the wilderness. How can we also, in that wilderness experience, realize God is with us? Yes, Lord. Oh, that I, as one of your pastors, oh, that all of us as fellow ministers, ministering to one another and even ministering to those outside this fellowship, by our words, by our actions, might enable others as well as ourselves to experiencing the living God in Christ Jesus, who is with us. Let us pray. That is our prayer, O Lord, that your presence might be continually known, even in the wilderness experiences of doubt in our lives. Amen.